The Navajo Generating Station is a coal-fired power plant located just outside of Page, Arizona. It produces 2,250 megawatts of electricity. It employs 520 workers, 450 whom are Navajo Nation enrolled members.
This booster video for a giant water project in the middle of the Arizona desert says it all. Hundreds of Navajo today work in what has become a monument to human intervention in nature. It would never have occurred to the native tribes in these deserts to build a giant electrical plant to move water from the Colorado River system overland for hundreds of miles. If it was up to the Navajo, they would just go to the water when they needed it. But this monster pumps trillions of gallons of water over mountains through canals to quench the thirst of several major cities in Arizona, like Tucson and Phoenix. You come upon this giant apparition in the middle of dry flatness. Only at dusk can you get the hint in colorful sunsets of how these 700-foot coal-burning smokestacks emit more pollution into the air than almost any other facility in the United States. Abram Lustgarten, senior reporter for ProPublica, visited what has become a symbol for how in an epic drought, even mega projects like this one are no match for the power of nature.
The Navajo Generating Station is an enormous coal-fired power plant. It's one of the largest in the country. It emits more greenhouse gases than all but two others in the entire United States. It has three smokestacks that are almost 800 feet tall that basically cap off a huge industrial facility that sits in the middle of the desert, right outside of Page, Arizona, which is otherwise a kind of small, unremarkable town along the Colorado River. Then separately, the sort of companion infrastructure is a couple hundred miles downstream, but is this huge canal called the Central Arizona Project that essentially pumps water up and out of the Colorado River over a mountain range through a couple tunnels and up a collective elevation gain of 3,000 feet to the cities of Tucson and Phoenix.
And does it look as ridiculous as it sounds, or is it impressive in some, you know, turn of the 20th century way?
Well, it just kind of stands out. The canal especially just kind of stands out. It's the midst of the Sonoran Desert, and all of a sudden there's this concrete-lined river. So this streak, this silver streak of water, you know, catches the sunlight and stands out from an airplane. You can see it if you ever fly across the southern part of the United States and you pay attention. You know, you can pick out the Central Arizona Project.
This is called a mega project, a mega water project, right? And it's something that really we associate with the 20th century. Are there mega project solutions on the drawing board for any of the issues that we're dealing with regarding drought that motivated your series on ProPublica?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's part of why we're looking at this. So, you know, the Central Arizona Project is a mega project, and it's just one of many. And that's part of what was so interesting about it is, you know, the Colorado River system has become a giant plumbing system. So, you know, there's the Glen Canyon Dam, the Hoover Dam, these famous big dams, but there's also these other huge canals. The All-American Canal is like the Central Arizona Project and brings water to California. And then at the bottom of California, there's the All-American Canal, which is a third canal that does much of the same. So these are all mega projects, and it would seem like they're kind of past their era. A lot of them are inefficient. They've costed a huge amount of money, and the river just doesn't have the water to sustain them the way it used to. And yet, there are new projects on the drawing board. So even as all of the seven Colorado River states are trying to figure out how to get by with less water, they're also proposing projects that would essentially allow each of them to keep some more of it within their state boundaries. So Utah has a couple of new dams on the drawing board. They're passing bond measures or looking at funding to raise money to build them. California just passed a $7 billion bond measure last year, which is likely going to go to new dams. There's always proposals and people talking about how do you build a pipeline to carry more water from the Mississippi River or its tributary, the Missouri, to just import water into the Colorado River Basin and, you know, from an entirely different river. The grand plans never seem to stop.
And there's an iceberg plan. That pops up from time to time.
Yeah, well, among the possible solutions that are brainstormed in 2012, the Department of Interior put together a really monumental report analyzing water supply in the West, and it listed a whole bunch of alternatives and different approaches to getting water. And yes, among them is towing icebergs from the Arctic or filling giant balloons with water and towing them down by tanker barge from places in, say, Alaska, where water is a lot more plentiful.
Is there a lesson to the Navajo generating station? Its name suggests it's on a reservation. Is it something that Native Americans benefit from? Is it something that is an insult to the landscape of their history? How does it play out?
Well, probably all of those things, depending on who you ask. It is on the Navajo Reservation. It's the largest tribal reservation in the United States. It is, as it happens, the largest employer on the reservation. There's about 500 tribal employees of the Navajo Generating Station itself, and another 500 or so that work in the coal mines that supply the generating station. So 1,000 people or so isn't the biggest number of employees, but it's a lot for that area, and it's a place that really suffers from extreme unemployment and underemployment. So it's important. And at the same time, you know, those are the communities that suffer from the environmental damage the most. There's an extraordinary amount of air pollution that comes from the Navajo Generating Station, not just the climate pollution, but smog and particulate matter that settles locally. And there's much concern about its effect on local health.
Is there any chance that the drought right now will change people's view of this generating station other than to say we're more desperate for it than ever?
Probably not in the short term in terms of the actual generating station itself. I mean, Arizona's in a tough spot. They're likely going to have their Colorado River water allotment curtailed next year because the river is flowing at such low levels and Lake Mead, which is its supply, is at such a low level. When that happens, the Central Arizona Project won't be able to carry as much water as it currently does, and their power needs will drop a little bit, but the cost of that power, you know, per unit of water then is going to go up. What's interesting to me is that the operators of the Central Arizona Project say that they could find cleaner sources of energy to move that water. And that's what they may, in fact, end up doing at some point in the future, using, say, natural gas-fired plants to move that water instead of coal-fired plants. In my reporting, I didn't find a lot of concern about the irony of the greenhouse contributions of this plant and how that plays into the actual water supply, that sort of, you know, the cyclical effect, of the greenhouse pollution aiding climate change, which is contributing to the dire, you know, water supply crisis that they're facing.
Abra Blusgarten is senior reporter for ProPublica. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.